In a day in which all of us are seeing the world seemingly, well, going down the drain, we feel it in the air, we hear it in the end of days proclamations. We know that it's the last hour of human history. But dear believer in Christ, this does not mean that we sit back, hide out, and wait for it all to collapse. There are so many things that can be done, so many more revivals, so many more souls to be won, so many more people to see healed, delivered, fed, cared for. Listen, there's a raging battle spiritually. And it's true that Satan has ramped up all his works, powers, events, and it's only going to get worse. But God has not faded away. God has not withdrawn his power. Nothing in biblical prophecy tells us that God will not do great and mighty and powerful things all the way to the very day of the return or the catching up of the church. So we're supposed to occupy till he comes. We're supposed to be busy all the way to the end. So as a believer in Christ, this series that you're about to enter right now for 31 days is coming with a prayer that God, by the Spirit of God, would grip our hearts, grab our lives, turn weaknesses into strengths, bring great change to our lives. In the day in which Goliath seems to be screaming in the world around us, the spirit of Antichrist continues to grow, and a critical mass and the arrival of globalism is coming. But let me tell you right now, believer, we have not been given an excuse. We have not been given a ticket by which we can simply avoid the engagement. We live in this world until God calls us out or till Christ comes. And there's great things that can be done to the very end. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather see how much of heaven can I bring here into this battlefield? How many souls can I actually win to Christ? How many churches can I strengthen and build up? How many believers can I encourage? What can I do with this one single life that God has given? Your life is unique. Your life has been bought by the blood of Jesus. Feel the Spirit of God's rage within you. Rage against the darkness. Rage against the deception. Rage against the seduction. Rage against, well, that one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy souls. Will believers just sit back and allow it all to happen? Perish the thought. God forbid. How could it be that any believer would think that in the worst of times, we live in weakness, spiritual passivity, and our witness to the world is absolutely silent? It's not how I'm going to go out, not how I'm going to live to the last day, not how I'm going to walk with God, with Christ. Not as I read the book of Acts and see how the believers became stronger and stronger and stronger. Not when I read, and may I say today, read that book of Hebrews chapter 11 about faith. Let me say again what the Word of God so clearly brings out in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen, if you're going to come to him, you must believe. If you're going to come to him, God says you must believe, and that not only that he exists, but that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And the entire 11th chapter that the Spirit of God penned for us, taking examples throughout thousands of years of history, is that God blesses faith. God is pleased with faith. God answers faith. God rewards faith. God does great things through faith. And so you can read about Noah. You can read about Enoch. You can read about Abraham. You can read about how they lived as they believe God. You could read about, well, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and on and on and on. These are the believers. And let's go down a little further, verse 32. It mentions again believers that walk with God. Verse 33, it says this, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what is promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. I want you to know one thing. Get this down very clear. You'll never do any more than your faith is. According to your faith, so be it unto you. If your faith is weak, and if all you do is see the giants in the land, and that's all that you speak about, well, then your report may be, don't move forward, don't go into the land, they'll kill us, they'll crush us, the world doesn't want to listen, it's going to hell in a handbag. Whereas Christ says, go into all the world, preach the good news, go to the highways and the byways. Where are the believers who will risk all and do the will of God as they did in the book of Acts? Where are the believers who will use no excuses, who will not fear a fallen world, the temptations of the old flesh, nor the ravings of the dark powers? Where are the believers that will look in the face of the living Christ, be clothed with the power of God, who will grow deep in the Word, deep in the Spirit, deep in prayer, deep in worship, and know how to win souls to Christ, pray in revivals, and turn a world right side up? Every time you lead a person to Christ, you are literally helping to turn the world right side up. Out of the darkness into the light. And when it's another and another in a family, in a neighborhood, listen, I listened as I heard the story of Evelyn Christensen. Bought the book, Battling the Prince of Darkness, years ago. Matter of fact, as a pastor, I had the entire church use this in training at one time over a period of 4 or 5 months. And I remember the story that is told how a couple of ladies got together and began to desire to reach their neighborhood for Christ. And so they began to pray, not only for the whole neighborhood, but they began to walk the street, up the street, down the street, house by house by house by house. They poured out prayer. And then they began to invite neighbors to the Bible study. And little by little by little, they led over half of their neighborhood to Christ. I heard and then read about a great revival that broke out in a refugee camp in India, where 500 young people or more turned to Christ as the Spirit of God moved. One wondered where it all came from, and they noticed that a small candle was lit in one of the tents late at night, every night. And there was a young lady that loved Jesus Christ, and she had written down well over 500 names of the other people, the other kids in the refugee camp. And every night she began to pray over those names again and again and again. And what happened in that camp was that lives were turned to God. Literally, it was all about the power to turn the world right side up. Listen, God will do amazing things in and through your life. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you are ready to stand in the sight of God and see your life go from weakness to strength, from fruitlessness to bearing great fruit for God, fruit that will last, as Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 15. Christian, what do we wait for? Why do we neglect so great a salvation? Why do we neglect so great a gospel? Why do we neglect so great a God, the Holy Spirit? Why do we neglect the promises of God? Why do we neglect the miracle power of committed, persevering prayer? Why do we neglect using the authority of Christ to trample the dark side? Why do we neglect the indefeatable gospel, the unequaled message of God in Christ? Don't you think it's time for us to repent of this fear, repent of this spiritual passivity, and then decide to stand up? Now, listen, I know what some are going to say. They're going to say, well, I'm all by myself. I'm just a little Joe. I can't do a whole lot. That's right. Just keep feeding yourself those excuses. Wonder where they came from. Moses did that one time when he couldn't speak, and God had to speak back and say, am I not the God of the mouth? Is this not the God of the power of the Spirit of God? Is this not the God who came at Pentecost in powering and enveloping the church with such grace and power? Let me ask you what you're ready for. Let me ask you that if you are willing to open the book of God, get in the presence of God, and be ready, it's going to take throwing out some things in your life. It's going to take some casting away of fear, inactivity, passivity. Well, let's just call it what it is, disobedience to the Word of God. This series is all about a simple call to obedience. And once that obedience to the Word of God is initiated and we begin to live it out, we shall see all that God promised. We shall feel all that God said and promised. We shall see lives being turned right side up. Families, maybe a city. I don't know about you, but I see that God has promised that there are great things, conquering kingdoms, administering justice. I don't care if Antichrist rises tomorrow. Jesus Christ himself said, I will be with you to the very end of the age, to the day that we're called up, to the day that we go, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Until that day, dear sweet brother and sister in Christ, may I ask that you would just grip God, grip the Word of God, and launch out in faith. And do all that God has called us to be and do. The possibilities are enormous. The possibilities are incredible. The possibilities are fantastic. The possibilities are miraculous. God rewards those who believe. Take a read again, Hebrews chapter 11. Stretch your faith to see the hand of God, the power of God, the will of God, the passion of God, of Christ, the cross, the conquering of sin, death, hell, Satan, and separation from God. Jesus said it very well, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. Don't stay. Don't wither. Don't be weary. Don't let the hypocrites turn you into one. Don't let the dead pull you into their spiritual caskets. Shake it off. Stand in the side of the living Christ who said he would never leave you, never forsake you. And decide now, my dear believer, friend and brother and sister, what you will do in the sight of a world going down that dark drain. Blessings to you this month. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.